Welcome, Nimitor. It's day five of the Kuru Kula Shift 2018, and John and I are here to reminisce in many ways.
To reminisce.
And talk about the four winds and what that means.
The instruction of the four winds.
I have actually already leaked this in the Treehouse Forum.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I don't know how many people saw it, how many people are paying attention. But I did it because of the gratitude for people joining Nemeter.
Well, I can agree with that because I'm chomping on my banana bread. But would like to put this out as a gift and a token of gratitude to the members. So we'll talk about matters that are intimate in the life of sorcerers. And the last time I did, and you did, a telestic session. Correct?
Yes. The factor of the instruction by the wind came up before that. You told me about that. Maybe a year before the last telestic session that we
You're
did.
You're kidding me. You keep doing this.
Can't help it.
You're kidding me. I never talked about it before it came up that evening.
You talked about her speaking to you on the east wind.
Oh, okay. But I didn't get the full instruction until that evening.
No, you didn't. Right. So should I take us back to that night you told me about her speaking to you on the east wind?
Please do.
Okay, so we're up at Witch Haven, the Haven of the Witches, which was a beautiful house in Andalusia that had no electricity or Wi-Fi or anything like that. And I was cataloguing the library, hand cataloguing it. And you came out to visit me. And you sat in the chair that had your back to the wall where the window was.
Yes.
And the house was howling. There was wind howling around the house. And in that house, and your house actually, Turton Towers, the wind made a very choral noise. It used to whistle through all the cracks and the doors. It was quite a wonderful noise. But you told me that she had told you that she would speak to you on the east wind. And the moment that you said that, the wind dropped and then changed direction to come from the east.
That's right. Well, I do remember now that before we had that session, which was in November of 2016, that I was standing on the terrace there, where we often looked at the stars, and we looked out across the Straits of Gibraltar to the mountains of Africa. And from that terrace, it was very easy to remember the four directions.
Easy, yeah, because you're looking south.
Because you're looking south, and so east is on your left.
You're looking south at the Mediterranean and Africa.
So I remember the moment when I was standing there by myself and the wind came from the east, which is the direction where Witch Haven is, positioned to the other house. Mm. And it came down the hill and it came gently across to me.
Which, of course, where the constellations rose.
The constellations are rising from that direction. Mm. And I remember turning to it like as if you would turn to someone who came into your presence, you know, who walked into a room or came towards you across the field. And at that moment, in the wind, I heard this sweet and consoling kind of sound, which is an inner sound, really. You don't hear it externally like schizophrenics do. That told me that from then on, she would give her direct instructions for the immediate moment that I was living through the east wind. So that was the first time that I registered this theme, which then was fulfilled and completed on the evening of that telestic session. So what do you remember about that telestic session? That evening, visually, pictorially, whatever, what comes back to you strongly?
My telestic sessions have always predominantly been auditorial, and the predominant thing I remember about that evening is hearing her withdraw her fangs.
What do you remember about the beginning of the evening, the building up to it? Or we took the potion at my house, I believe. Or did we take it up there? I can't remember.
We took it up there.
Yeah, that's right, we did. Took it up there in the main room.
Nikita was dying. She'd started to get really sick. Nikita was on the forefront of my mind before her being comfortable before we left for the night. And we promised her we'd go back, which we did because we promised her.
So we left Nikita down at the other house.
With Remy, yeah.
Went up to Witch Haven. And it was a pretty warm, coolish night. You know, winter in Andalusia is not really that cold.
No.
There was quite a bit of cloud activity out that I remember. And we had set up a fire in front of Witch Haven. So at a certain moment, we came out and we lit the fire. And I think the trance was coming on as we lit the fire, because we were standing around the fire. Remember how it smelled? Remember how we smelled? There were two others with us, so it was a group of four.
I remember you went into that thing that you do in telestic sessions, the narwhal. Provides the syntax and steadies the ride, and you did that thing that you do that's just superhuman in that state of trance, which is you speak like you normally do, but you speak in words that you don't normally use. It's quite extraordinary to behold.
Yeah, I was the narwhal of that session by choice or by spontaneity or whatever. And we did have a question, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Don't ask me what it was.
This is the situation. I believe it was a question about extinction.
Extinction protocols.
Venom.
It was the extinction protocols, yeah.
About the extinction protocols and about her
releasing,
venom.
Releasing the venom.
Yeah. Mm. So I can't rephrase it precisely, and this is often the case, but that was the general direction of the question. So there we were, and at one point we were standing, which is always good. You start with a standing trance, eyes open, but then at another point we lay down around the fire, and what I distinctly remember, I'd like to hear more of your impressions, but what I distinctly remember is that when I lay down, sort of on my side, didn't lay down, sat and leaned on my side around the fire, I became intensely aware of how we smelled and that we smelled like animals in their den. And it was such a delicious sensation to be in front of that magnificent, scary house with the big witch tree, with the big trumpet, golden trumpet blossoms, and to be in this animal intimacy. And I really sunk myself into that. It felt so good to me to be there. At a certain moment, among the many things I said, speaking in that particular way, I said, romance is a den of wolves, and we're in it.
Yeah.
And that, for me, really expressed the intense feeling of pleasure I had at that moment. To know that I am an animal, to know that I am a wolf in the Kalik, a wolf pack, to know that of the romance of the animal and the predator and all the beauty of that. And I was just saturating myself in it, and I really just was so happy and deeply absorbed in that feeling. So I spoke those words aloud. Romance is a den of wolves, and we're in it. It was like I could smell what wolves feel in their smell in their den when they smell each other's fur and all of what they carry on their fur. So like our fur is our emotions. And so we carry scents on our emotions like wolves carry scents in their fur. And it was all welling up in this beautiful whirlpool of sensation and odor. That's how I remember that evening.
You went on Red Ice the day after, and it was the 8 unifying points.
Right. And the next day, I had a talk on Red Ice the very next day.
And you said, you mentioned that you'd been lying around in your wolf pack the night before.
So.
Talk about the fangs a bit more then.
Well, we were practicing telestics, and it's very precise. It sounds easy, but it isn't. You formulate a question before you go into trance, and then when you're at the height of the trance and you're really in that rush, in that beautiful rush of the trance, you retrieve the question. That's the difficult thing. Many
That's
people
the difficult
can't
thing.
Retrieve the question. You retrieve the question in the exact form that you formulated it, and you turn and you put the question to the organic light. Now, you may do that subvocally, just saying it telepathically, or you may say it aloud. I can't remember what I did on that occasion.
We did it telepathically.
I think we did. And so the group gets a signal from the Nahual, and at that moment, a silent signal, and at that moment, you all ask the question together, looking into the light. First thing you have to establish is, of course, that you know that you were in the presence of the light, and you acknowledge it. And did we do that evening? Or how did that come about?
Well, there was a bit of a divide in the group. It was a bit weird, but you and I were definitely unified. And I got the nose drip. I always do.
Tell them about the nose drip.
Well, when you're in the presence of the organic light, the temperature drops by at least 5 degrees.
Right.
You start to see your breath, even if it's not cold, and then you get a nostril drip. And it's actually before you get the drip, you feel the cobwebs on your face.
Describe that, what that's like.
Exactly like you say it is. It's
cobwebs on your face.
It's cobwebs on your face that you don't remove because you know that you're engaging with her.
Because she reaches you with tentacles.
Yeah.
That's right. So one of the first impressions, and it's the same for everybody and always will be, that you are actually in close encounter with the light, is that you feel a drop in temperature, and then you feel the sensations on your face. And there's a tendency to like reach up with your hand and sort of brush your face. She is extruding the tentacles of the organic light to you and starting to touch you. And then when she fully touches you, it's another stage, she's actually tasting you.
Yeah.
And if she likes the taste, she gives you a drop in your nostril.
But sometimes it's not just a drop, it's a constant streaming from one nostril, isn't it?
I find it to be just a drop.
Yeah?
Yeah, it just comes in one
streaming.
Distinct drop. Mm. Yeah. I used to say it was the right nostril, but I don't really think it matters.
No.
It can be the right or left. I've seen other people get it. I saw a close ally of one's get it up on Infinity Ridge. I was watching him very closely, as the Nahual is inclined to do, because I was there to steady his approach. If he You know, because when you're in the flux of this overpoweringly, awesomely beautiful current that's coming towards you from the earth, the tendency is like you're drunken, like you waver a little bit. And I saw that he was wavering. And then I saw at one point that he just started to reach up with the back of his hand and brush away this drop that he had in his nose. And I said, no, no, don't do that. And that was a sign that the light had reached him and tasted him and it liked him.
We're talking about a Russian army friend.
Yes, our Russian, ex-Russian yeah. army friend.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So generally it's a drop.
And all this happened, time completely disappears. There is no time. There is no time, there is no thought. So all this happens in reflection, this happens quite quickly in succession of each other.
Yes, it does. It happens quickly. It's not dragged out in any way, but it doesn't happen with any sense of urgency.
Mm. And then, of course, I think it happened that night as well that you commented that my skin had turned blue.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, this is another effect that comes, and these effects come in succession. And one of the effects, which is verifiable, I've experienced it with various people, is that when you settle into the organic light and you're deeply immersed in it, it changes the color of your skin and you look as if you are a greenish blue. To me, it is the color that always reminds me of something that has been left in the ocean and kind of corroded by the effect of seawater. And then it has this, I call it a kind of gunmetal blue, this blue-green shade. And you look that way, and others around you look that way.
Mm.
And when you see that, it's quite a thrill. But again, part of the practice is that you don't remark anything. The meaning of the word mystery, which is to hold your finger to your lips or to murmur or to keep your lips pursed, means that you don't ever burst out. You don't ever burst out in an exclamation, even though you're in deep ecstasy.
You never burst out.
You never burst out.
No, you never burst out in exclamation.
Oh, I never burst out.
No, you're narrating in a very low tone, constantly.
So I did some narration that evening. One of the parts of the narration that I remember is a standard orientation practice that the Nahual does, is that the Nahual looks around to see where she is disclosing herself. Because the organic light is everywhere. Everywhere is in the organic light. Everything is floating in the organic light. The whole hillside of Andalusia with Witch Haven was floating in the organic light. You have the feeling of levity. You have the feeling that nothing has any weight. It has mass, but it has no weight. And since you can't see everywhere at once, you look around to see that tree, that rock, that shape of the hill, if that is where she is particularly bringing your attention. And that's a skill of the practice that the Nahual can say, look there. And when you look there, you make the contact. Because if you're just gazing around, you see it everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Mm.
So I did that. And I recall looking at the face of Witch Haven. That was always a confirmation for me. The looking at the white wall of Witch Haven, you could see that the organic light was in the wall. You have to see it somewhere. That's the odd thing about it. It's not just like some undefined radiance that comes over you. You have to see it somewhere. So we were well situated in the light.
For the record, I'm going to say here that when you and I first started intellectual sessions, you taught me that you have to not look directly at the light. You kind of look at the light like a shy lover, like you want to look at it, but you don't really want them to see you looking at it. So you're kind of looking with your eyes down and to the side almost.
That's
like,
right.
Like you're a shy teenager trying to get someone's attention.
You look to the side.
So it's very subtle.
And you never glare at it. You never stare at it. It never stares at you. It's extremely subtle and extremely gentle, but it is awesomely overpowering. And when you're in physical presence of the organic light, you can feel it seeping into the very cells of your body, as if you were a sponge of the light, which you are.
In fact, I think when you taught me that session, we were by the fire up at Witchhaven, and when she showed up, you looked down at the floor and you were shaking your head, and she said, "Oh, when she comes in, she flies in like a mother swan." It's so beautiful.
You can actually use language to cue attention to her presence. That's one of the skills that anyone can learn. So we were really deep in it, and the evening went on, and there were two, among the many moments, there were two outstanding ones for me. The next one was when I stood up again. I think you three were not standing up. And when my attention was drawn to a certain place in the clouds.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I think that was the moment that we asked the question together. That was the moment that I cued you to say, "Now we're going to ask the question about your venom, about her venom." And I was looking, you always remember the exact direction. I was looking southeast,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and up. And there was some kind of cloud formation in the sky. Another characteristic of these sessions is if you're looking at the night sky and there are clouds in the night sky, when you're in full trance, you sweep your gaze over the sky and you look at those clouds and you can't figure out what shape they have. They have a shape, but you can't figure out what the shape is because you're not in an ordinary state. So you don't hallucinate on the shapes. You don't see various forms appearing. You just realize when you're looking at the shape of a cloud that you're looking at something unknowable, yet it's presenting itself to you, but it's unknowable and you can't define it. And that's also a skill to hold that kind of perception. So anyway, I was looking out there up right after we asked the question. And that's when I saw her bare her fangs. And
what did you see?
What I saw is indescribable. I didn't see the cloud bank, which was a dim white bank in front of me, consisting of various parts. I didn't see it take the form of two huge fangs, but I knew I was looking at two huge fangs. And when I say huge, I mean huge.
Gargantuan.
Gargantuan, at least 100 feet long.
Yeah, well, I heard her retract them and it was a noise that I will never forget.
There was a noise that happened at that moment, which was when the fangs come out of the sheath and then the fangs go back in, it made a noise.
Mm.
Which again, how would you describe that noise?
I can't. If I had to describe it cheaply, it was kind of like a noise that a visor would make. But that's not doing it any...
A visor?
Yeah.
What do you mean by a visor?
Like a helmet visor.
A helmet visor, yeah. Coming down, or a helmet going up.
Mm.
I struggle to find any comparison to what that noise would be like. But again, crudely speaking, it was a noise of an extraction. It was the noise of her, extending her fangs.
It was retraction.
Yeah, retracting.
I heard the noise when she retracted them, not when she brought them out.
So that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
It really was. And so then the mood changed, get a little bit mellow. It goes into a mellow mood as you're slowly coming off the trance. And then when you're really coming out of the trance, it gets hysterical and you start to not like mushroom, recreational mushroom hysterical. It just gets to be very, very
funny.
No, because
if we start talking then and then we're all hilarious.
Everything is very, very funny.
Even you, John.
Even I could be witty for a few rare moments in such a state. So I sat down, we were huddled around the fire, put some more of the good oak, Andalusian oak and pine on the fire. You could smell the fire. And it was just so comfortable. And that's when I noticed the west wind. And I noticed that the west wind was coming from the west. And I know exactly where the west is because
you knew that sky there so well.
I know that domain by heart.
Yeah.
And that connected in my mind with the previous glimpse I had had on the terrace. I will give you my instruction directly through the east wind. And so then, because I was cognitive as well as being in the trance, it's a cognitive ecstasy. You're cognitive, you're rational. I was able to do what a cognitive person would do and say, well, is there some connection between what I'm feeling coming from the west wind now and the message that I got about the east wind? And then the whole thing happened like that. And I got the instruction of the four winds. And I think I just said it when I got it, didn't I?
I didn't remember.
You don't remember. I do remember that I said it. And I remember the order that I said it. First I said, from the east wind, she gives the instruction on an existential situation. She can actually do that now. And it's always immediate and relevant to your life, what that instruction is from the east. It's in effect like saying what the Ionic Mother advises that you to do now.
So it's her instruction to her community, her planetary tantra.
To her witnesses
her
and
witnesses.
Her community,
yeah.
Right. And then turn to the west. And that wind was very powerful to me. And that is wind carries the instruction of resignation. And resignation is a really big word. So what does it mean? Surrender, things that you have to let go of. Not everyone is going on the ultimate adventure with her. That's just a fact. And if you are one who goes, you may have to resign certain things. You may have to resign yourself to certain things. So the instruction of resignation comes through the west wind.
So it's such a loaded word, isn't it, surrender? It's release to freedom.
It is a release into freedom, but it's a highly emotive event as well. It's no coincidence that Nikita was dying at that time and that I had to resign myself to her going, you see. But it is about release and liberation that comes through resignation. So then we look to the south, and that is about collaboration. That is her instruction on how we collaborate, how we pull together the tribes and the clans, how we form the community, how we hold the pack together, everything that concerns the community and how to build it and maintain it comes through the south wind, speaks through the south wind. And then, of course, I turn to the north, which is behind Witch Haven, so looking up at that magnificent facade of that house. And the north carries the instruction of the assurance of the support of the Aeonic powers, all of the Aeonic powers, the whole Pleroma of Aeonic Powers, brings instruction and support on the North Wind.
Would you like to talk about any confirmation you've had from that instruction?
You know, a specific confirmation, once again, I don't know if I could recall it.
Oh, good, because I've got loads.
All right. Give us an example, if you please.
So a German came to stay here a couple of months ago. You'd gone off up north, and he wanted somebody to do the vow with. He'd done it on his own and is completely alone in Planetary Tantra where he lives. So he said he'd still like to come because he wanted to perform the vow. And I said, okay, great, I'll do it with you, of course. I'll be your witness and I'll renew my vow. So he came and we did a few recordings together because he wasn't sure he was doing those right. And I was teaching him to stop during the recording and shake a branch of the tree, as you've taught me, and wait for the wind to respond. Summer day, perfectly still, and the wind picked up out of nowhere and showed him that she was listening to him, which blew his mind, of course. It didn't blow his mind, he was thrilled, he was so thrilled. And it happened every time, for both of us. And then the day of his vow, of our vow, we went up to Charlotte's Ridge, completely still, hot summer's day, end of summer, but still day. And we sat right on the edge of the ridge. He did his vow in German. I did my written vow in English. And two or three seconds after we finished, a gust of north wind came out of nowhere and blew over us. Hair on end. So, and then I play around with the wind because I know it. There was another incident where Crooked Claw and I went out to use the app. We went over to a field. He was doing his thing, I was doing my thing. Again, still perfectly still day, and we had a wind came in from the west. And I think it was that day that I realised that, let's play with this then. Let's see how much confirmation we do actually get from the wind.
Sure.
And it happens 99% of the time, I would say.
It's happened to you and I several times. I mean, many, at least 10 times since that event.
Mm.
And it's just such a pure delight when it happens.
But of course, unless you're paying attention and nervous, you're not going to notice it. So now you know about it, so play with it and pay attention to the wind.
Remember the old motto of the Boy Scouts, be prepared. So
I've noticed that even if it's a windy day and you do something, so now I use the app mostly to play. Even if it's a windy day, the wind will suddenly drop and then it will come from a different direction.
Exactly. It's really intentional.
Mm.
It's really just a matter of paying attention to when the wind picks up and which direction it's coming from. It's not difficult.
So, of course, you need to pay attention to what the wind's doing before you play.
That's right.
So is it coming from that direction? Does it drop and move? So just pay attention to what the wind is doing for 5 or 10 minutes and then play and see how it interacts with you.
So this is a lovely instruction. Basic elementary instruction for everyone in PT.
What's the wind to her?
Ideation.
Her ideation?
Yes. The wind is her ideation. And her ideation is not the same as the transmission of her intelligence through the Shakti cluster.
Speechless.
What's the wind to her? It's her ideation. What is ideation? Or what is your ideation? Everyone knows what ideation is.
What? Well, they might know what it is, but they might not know it's called.
Yeah, they might not know it's called ideation. You know, I've talked a lot about mind stream, which is a concept basic to Planetary Tantra. So There is a mind stream, and I've explained that the Dakini instruction arises out of the mind stream. So the mind stream is like a subconscious flow. Okay? But ideation is not subconscious. Ideation is conscious. And it has a way of driving itself, which is can be
destructive.
You know, like people speak of suicidal ideation. I've seen someone in suicidal ideation who consequently killed himself. Ideation is a form of obsessive thinking in which the conscious mind just keeps running a very intense riff on itself. She actually has ideation now. In correction, she has reached the point where she can not only transmit to us through the mind stream, which is all explained in the Shakti cluster and so forth, that was given from the beginning, but she has so far advanced in her mastery of correction that she can transmit through her ideation as well as her mind stream. And that is the wind. So when there are terrible, turbulent winds and destructive winds and these, a lot of these vortices that people are seeing, these water spouts, that's her ideation. And when you see these water spouts, and they're frequent in the Mediterranean now, off the coast of Italy and Greece, for instance, you see these long, coiling, winding water spouts, that shows that she is connecting her ideation, which is in the wind, to the earth. And she is transmitting her ideation to the telluric level. So you're really in deep into her, into the dynamics of her mind by following the instruction of the four winds. And it is, I would say, it is a magnificent act of sorcery on her part that she has mastered her own ideation, because that is a major step in coming out of her autism, which is due to her immense multitasking responsibilities in her dreaming power. So it's just absolutely momentous. She could not have done that like in 2003 and 2004 when I first made contact. There was no trace of her ideation then, but now she has command of it. And to recognize this is an act of trust in her. And it's an act that I'm sure must give her great pleasure as well.